In my 50 years of ministry, I was honored and privileged to serve some large churches. One of them had a choir of over 70 members and a 60-rank pipe organ. But none of them sounded any better than your choir here this morning. Our text this morning is from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, the first 6 verses. Listen now for the Word of God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Now, O God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts that are generated in our hearts together be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The late, great theologian Karl Barth, arguably the most influential theologian of the 20th century, underscored the magnitude of this passage when he wrote, this is one of those stories that sneaks up on you and practically slaps you in the face, asking, what are you doing with this story on your lips? Well, this story is on my lips this morning because I want to talk about Jesus. Little boy came to the dinner table, his hands were all dirty, and his father, who was a minister, said, son, go wash your hands. Dirt carries germs. Cleanliness is next to godliness, so go wash and Jesus will be happy. The little boy left the table, and as he did, he was heard to mutter, germs and Jesus. That's all I hear around here, is germs and Jesus. I'm not here to talk about germs, but I am going to talk about Jesus. Sometimes Helen tells me she wants something she wants me to know and understand, and I just don't get it. Many times I don't get it. So she tells me over and over and over. Some of you husbands have that problem. She tells me and I don't get it. She tells me again and I don't get it. So what is the problem? Am I not listening? Am I not paying attention? Whatever the reason, I just don't get it sometimes. Over the years, we've heard sermons on discipleship delivered from pulpits. We've heard lessons from the Bible about following Jesus. We've read books that talk about intentionally molding our lives after the example of Jesus. And it's clear we often just don't get it. Oh, we talk about it a lot, but we seldom alter our lifestyles. We seldom change our attitudes, no matter how clear the message is. We haven't regularly gotten closer to Jesus, even though we've heard all these sermons and heard all these Bible stories. Now, why is that? Are we not paying attention? Or are we just not listening? Jesus' disciples didn't get it either. Repeatedly, he told them where he was going. They never understood. Here it is in the last week of his life as it unfolds. They did not understand. They just didn't get it. They were a bewildered bunch, to say the least. But at least old Thomas had the guts to ask, "How can we know where you're going, Lord? You talk about all this." He was too honest not to express his doubts. "I don't understand you, Jesus. You keep talking about going away. Where in the world are you going? We've just started this thing that you called us to. How can we follow if we don't know where you're going, Lord? Be straight with us." It was a special moment in their life together, because Thomas' question brings from Jesus one of the greatest things he ever said. "Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." So let's think about what Jesus said and what he meant. Isaiah has said, "You shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." And the psalmist prayed, "Teach me your way, O Lord." The scriptures are replete with references to the way. And all their lives, the disciples had heard about the way in Jewish terms. Now here Jesus was expanding and revising their understanding of what it meant for them to walk in the way of God. Helen will tell you, I'm like most husbands. When I'm driving and I get lost, I refuse to stop and ask directions until I'm totally humiliated and totally lost. And when I do stop and get out of the car and ask somebody, I usually get directions that go like this. Go left just past the Texaco station. Go a little ways further and turn the third curve. Take the second right on your left. Then go past Susie's house. And when you get to Bubba's garage, turn right. So I listen, I get back in the car, and Helen says, "Well," I said, "I don't have a clue." But suppose when I stop and ask directions, the old guy says to me, "Follow me." And he gets in his truck and we follow him to where we want to go without any problems, following that old pickup. Jesus said, "I am the way. Follow me." And that's what Jesus does for us. He takes us by the hand and he leads us, personally guiding us every step of the way if we let him. He does not tell us about the way. He is the way. Amen. Why? Because he leads us to God the Father. "I am the way." He's the way to heaven. He's the way to live faithfully before God, because he is the way. No one gets to God the Father if you trust Jesus. No one gets to heaven. No one lives faithfully except by trusting Jesus. There is no other way. But Jesus said more. He said, "Not only am I the way, I am the truth." "I am the truth," he says. Psalm 86 reads, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth." Psalm 119 reads, "I have chosen the way of truth." Are you listening? Now, an adulterer can talk about living a pure life, but he's not very convincing, is he? A selfish person can teach a class on being generous, but she may not be convincing. An arrogant person can talk about humility, but you won't be convinced. A hate-filled person can talk all day about the beauty of loving others, but you won't believe it. Moral truth is more powerfully communicated by example than by many words. And if a person is speaking, the person speaking embodies the highest moral principles, you'll pay attention, won't you? But no man, no woman has ever embodied the truth that he or she taught except Jesus. Many can say, I told you the truth. I told you the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. So where do you go to discover the truth about yourself? You may not want anybody else to know the truth about you, but where do you go to find the truth about yourself? To whom do you go to get the truth about the meaning and purpose of your life? Or are you, like so many, just kind of wandering aimlessly through life, hoping everything turns out okay? Why Jesus? Why follow the way He leads? Why walk in the way? Because the world is full of lies and half-truths. Jesus, though, is the truth. In a land where our leaders constantly lie to us, He is the truth. There is no other source for truth about life and death except in Jesus Christ. Read all the books by famous people you want. None of them has all the truth. Listen to all the speeches by famous people all you want. None of them has the truth. Every one of them hides something from you while they're speaking or writing. Every one of them has doubts about what he or she is saying or writing. Every one of them got what they know from somebody else. Only Jesus has the truth. The truth about your life, about your life, the truth about how we are to live, and the truth about how we are to die. Only Jesus has that. But there's one last answer he gave to Thomas. He said, I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The psalmist wrote, you show me the path of life. And Proverbs 6 reads, he who follows my instructions is on the path of life. Everyone is seeking life. We all want knowledge. And as never before the internet was invented, never has knowledge been available in such unlimited quantities. But knowledge is not what makes life worth living, is it? God's love makes life worth living. God's love in Christ brings real life, not the life enclosed in today's trappings that we spend so much money on and work so hard to get in such a sad way. But life as God intended it for every one of His children, and that includes you, my friend. Why Jesus? Because Jesus was God in the flesh, showing the way to God's truth that offers us life in abundance. No one comes to the Father except through Him. No one finds the way except through Him. No one discovers the truth except through Jesus. No one experiences life except through Jesus. He alone can lead us into God's presence without fear or shame. In May of 1954, construction began on the Mackinac Bridge, a five-mile span that now links the upper and lower peninsulas of that state of Michigan. Helen's Uncle Sam was, until his death, the chief foreman on that bridge. When Helen began her summers in Michigan as a child, the only way across the straits was by ferry, or as the Indians did, by canoe. It took 1 million steel boats, 500,000 yards of concrete, 42 miles of cable wire, and nearly 12,000 workers and $1 billion in 4 years to complete that bridge. Every year we spent in Michigan in the summer, we would cross that bridge to get to the Indian village on the other side, where our children and our grandchildren, and I'm sure their children one day, buy all the same Indian gifts over and over and over again. Once, when I was much younger, Uncle Sam drove me out to the center of that bridge. We entered a small door. We took an elevator halfway up to the top in one of those giant columns that hold up the bridge. Then we climbed another 100 feet on a thin ladder inside that column until we reached the top, 580 feet above that massive body of water. I was much younger then and much dumber to do that. But why do people attempt to build such structures? Bill Hybel, in his book, Walk Across the Room, says the answer is, of course, a desire to span the chasm that is just so great. Hybel writes, people on one cliff want to visit those on the other cliff. Families and friends want to get access to each other. And since the beginning of time, sensing vast distances separating them, people have been consumed by this desire to get to God. How do we get across that spiritual chasm that separates us from God? How do we get close to this holy, awesome God that we worship here today? Well, we've tried working harder. We've tried praying harder. We've tried to live more nobly. We've become more religious. We perform more charitable deeds like missions. But none of our efforts prove successful, do they? They only just get us a little ways, and then we fall back 2 steps. But God saw the chasm and saw that we would never be able by our own efforts to reach Him. So He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. The cross forms that mighty bridge between us and God and His holy presence. Jesus said, I am the way across the chasm. I am the truth that shows the way. I am the life you are destined for if you believe and trust me. Millions of people across the globe want exactly what you and I want, a close personal relationship with Jesus. God has His own secret way into our hearts. Many times in our lives, God has been very, very near, and still, day by day, He's coming to us by His Holy Spirit. When love came to you in the form of Jesus, you remember that? When you took your little one out of His arms into your own, do you remember that? That moment? When you stood in tears as God took back a life, you remember that? Jesus made all those God moments possible. And because Jesus loves you infinitely, He says to you, come to me. I will show you the way. I will tell you the truth. I will give you life. Of course, God gives you the freedom, and me, to believe otherwise. You can say, I'll find my own way, Lord. Thank you very much. Or you can say, I'll discover the truth by myself. You can say, I'll decide what life is all about for myself. If I need you, Jesus, I'll let you know. You have that freedom. And that's what a lot of us do most every day. So ask yourself today, is the way I'm going satisfactory? Is it for you? Is what you believe true? Is it? Is your life just occupying space, or does it have meaning and purpose? If you're not happy with your answers, you don't have to stay in that comfortable rut. There's good news for you. But you only discover the real way, the real truth, and the real life if you step out in faith and take Jesus' hand and follow Him. One of my younger brothers served in Vietnam. He was a courier of classified information. He flew between Da Nang and Can Tho and Saigon, I think it was, that triangle. When he was off duty, he volunteered to ride shotgun on convoys and then to unload the choppers, the Hueys, that medevac the wounded back to the base hospitals to MASH. Some of them were dead by the time the helicopters got back and he helped unload them. Some were terribly shot up. We all think it took a tremendous toll on my brother. because he was never the same again. When he got home from the war, he tried to work for my dad in our store there. That didn't work. And then just one day he up and disappeared. Was gone for more than a year. We had no idea where he was, didn't hear from him. Wondered if he was still alive. Then one Christmas Eve, I got a phone call in the dead of night. It was my brother. None of us had heard from him more than a year. He said, "Would you call Daddy and ask him if I can come home?" My friends, isn't it time we find our way home? Isn't it time to seek the truth for our lives? Isn't it time to have a full and faithful life that Jesus offered? Friends, come home. Come home to Jesus. Let us pray. Unto you, Almighty God, we give thanks for the promise of a life full and free with purpose and meaning in Jesus Christ. Grant us the courage, O God, to take His hand and walk with Him. Amen.